chapter 53. That is page 596 in your pew Bible. We're reading chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. As we continue to prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord and receive these elements that represent His broken body, His shed blood, we have chosen through this year, each first Sunday, to look at a verse from Isaiah 53. As Isaiah is in faith and in the Spirit looking up at that one hanging on a cross and describing Him to us. So let's read God's Word together, beginning in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 3. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He grew up before Him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held Him of no account. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, to hear Isaiah use the words despised and rejected to describe our Savior. We just sang about how the old rugged cross and how we're going to exchange it one day for a crown. And we look at that cross in reverence and in awe because it symbolizes the one who died on that cross for us. And yet Isaiah turns around and standing in the Spirit at the foot of that cross, looking at this one dying, he says of Jesus that He was despised and He was rejected. I looked up Webster's definition of those two words, and this is what Webster said about the word despised. To look down on with disrespect or aversion. To regard as negligible, worthless, or distasteful. That's not words you like to hear used about Jesus. I know it's not for me. And then Webster defined the word rejected in this way. Not given approval or acceptance. Abandoned. Forsaken. So in essence, Isaiah was saying that Jesus was looked down on with disrespect or aversion. That He was not given approval or acceptance. It seems totally contrary to what we read in the Gospels, how the parents would bring the children to Him and how people flocked around Him and they were touching Him and talking to Him and asking Him to do this and asking Him to do that. He called Him a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him of no account. Have you ever had to admit that you were wrong? Have you ever thought that what you believed was true and was correct and that this is right? And then you found out later that you were incorrect, that you were wrong. If you've ever been married, you know this has happened quite often, particularly if you're the husband. You realize that, oh, you know what, honey, you're right. For example, there have been many people who have predicted the second coming of the Lord, that it would occur at a certain time. Any of you remember Y2K and how we thought the world was going to end and Jesus is coming back and every computer is going to blow up and we won't be able to have gas and we'll have no utilities and we'll just be, you know, like cavemen again? I can remember one Sunday morning in 1988, I came out of the church that I was pastoring and go out to the car, and on every car, someone had placed a little booklet titled, 88 reasons why Jesus will return in 1988. And of course, we know that that didn't happen. And then I remember a year later, coming out after church, and there on all the windshields was a book titled 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1989. They were wrong. They were incorrect. What they thought was a certainty, they found out was not a certainty at all. In fact, I read the story of the man who predicted that the Lord would come back on June 21st, 1986 at 9:04 a.m. And so on June 21st, 1896, he climbed up into a tall tree, and at 9:04 he jumped out of the tree to meet the Lord in the air. He did meet the Lord that day, but it was not in the way that he expected. He was so sure of the outcome, and yet he was so wrong. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he surprised a lot of people. His life was marked by humility. He was born, came as a baby, born in a manger, God's son placed in a cattle stall, royalty born in poverty. From the time he was born until the day that he died, he was always doing things differently than the people expected. He refused to follow the script. He was a man on a mission, but the mission was one that very few of those around him, including his own disciples, truly understood and comprehended. He taught us how to love like no man who has ever lived before. He was full of compassion. He continuously extended grace while others were casting guilt. No one was hopeless. Every life mattered. He loved the prostitute as much as he loved the Pharisee. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that is exactly what he did. He sought out the lonely, the hurting, the destitute, the forgotten ones, the guilty, the hopeless, the rejects of society. And his love transformed them. Everywhere Jesus went, he changed lives. But his methods were totally unorthodox. People kept trying to squeeze him into their mold, and he was unwilling to be squeezed. It was obvious he had power. He could do so many things. He could do everything. He could heal the sick, the deaf, the blind, the crippled, the diseased. His power was limitless. He performed countless miracles. He calmed a storm. He turned water into wine. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. But then he would confuse everyone after these awesome displays of power by saying something like, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." He claimed to be the Messiah. But just about the time you would expect him to put on a crown, and sit on a throne, he picked up a towel and a basin, and he began to wash the dirty feet of his disciples, including two who were planning to one was planning to betray him, and the other one would betray him. If he could have just got his act together, at what seemed to be the very pinnacle of his power and his popularity, when he rode into Jerusalem on a colt and the crowds were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Just when it seemed his moment had finally arrived, he defied logic again. And in a few days later, the crowds were crying, crucify him. Crucify him. Hanging on a wooden cross until he died. It seemed like such a waste. In so many people's minds, if Jesus could have just gotten his act together, if he would have just followed the script, if he would have just done what they wanted him to do, he could have been the leader they were all waiting for. Humility, love, and all that power, to them it seemed to be wasted. They were looking for more power and less humility and even less love. They wanted fewer parables but more politics. They didn't want a savior. They wanted a deliverer. They wanted a warrior. Instead, they got what they considered to be a wimp. He wouldn't play by their rules, so they crucified him. They called him a blasphemer, put him on trial, beat him up, made fun of him, and then they killed him. It was just that simple. And he didn't even put up a fight. Even when they leveled false accusations against him and lied about him, he did not say a single word in his own defense. The man who had more power than any man who has ever lived, any man who has ever walked on the earth, went to his death as if he were completely and totally powerless. Have you ever been misunderstood? Do people look down on you with disrespect or aversion? Are you considered as negligible, worthless, or distasteful? Have people rejected you? Have you sought approval and acceptance in a variety of ways but never found it? Do you sense today that maybe you've been abandoned? You've been forsaken? Or maybe you look down on your own life and despise the choices you've made, the decisions you've made, the consequences of those decisions. Maybe you look down on your own life and you reject yourself. You're never happy with who you are. If you could only be skinnier, if you could only be taller, if you only had more education, if you only had a different job, if you only had a nicer car, if you only had this or that, then you would finally accept yourself. And then you find that when you attain those things, there's still that something within you that says, I don't like who I am. Every one of us have met people who have really rejected themselves. They don't like themselves. And they look down on themselves. And so to all of us today who have at times felt inner despising and inner rejection, or maybe we were rejected by someone in our lives, or maybe we feel like people look down on us and we don't measure up, I've got great news for all of us. In just a few minutes, we're going to come to this altar. And we're going to hold in our hands the broken bread that represents his body, the cup that represents his shed blood, the symbols of his love, the symbols of his power, the symbols of his humility, the symbols of his grace. This altar can be the place of a great exchange. This altar can be the place where you give up your feelings of failure. You give up that self-rejection. You give up that despising of your life and despising of where you are right now and where you wished you were and where you thought you would be as compared to where you really are. You can give up all the worthlessness, all the shame, all the guilt, all the remorse, all the fear. You can give all of that up at this altar. In exchange for all of that, Jesus will give you his love, his acceptance, His forgiveness, His peace. I remember going through a time in my life in which I just felt totally worthless. And I found a little paperback book that was written in the 50s. And the title of the book was very simple. It was called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. And it was written by a pastor. And he told about stories of people in his church and situations they had gone through in their lives and how they came to Jesus and brought all the junk and all the trash and all the rubbish and all the stuff, and they brought it to Jesus and said, I give it up. I want your love. I need your acceptance. I trust you for your forgiveness. Maybe that's what you need today. You need His love, His acceptance, His forgiveness. You can come to this altar today and say, Jesus, I feel despised and I feel rejected. And know that He not only hears you, but He can identify with that, because Isaiah said of himself, He was despised and rejected by all men. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who did not just come to die on a cross to forgive us of our sins, but who experienced what we've experienced. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to be made to have people look at Him and judge Him, to look at Him and condemn Him, to look at Him and criticize Him, to look at Him and not understand. Lord, we have felt all of that. We've experienced that. We've experienced the pain. We have the scars to prove it. And some of the wounds are still open today. And that is why we come to this altar. That is why we come to take that bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, that blood that represents His shed blood. And we do so, Father, in faith and in gratitude that in Christ we are loved. In Christ we are accepted. In Christ we are forgiven. So do your work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? Take